Yes.
Maharaj, the question that we didn't have a chance to hear last time.
Mm-hmm.
From Rameshwar Prabhu, Robert Grant, he asked it on Facebook. So, again, a most blissful Vaishnava sage. May I humbly ask, why is the description of the Puranic universe, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, so different from what our senses, even expanded with telescopes, seem to perceive?
Hare Krishna. Oh, it's a very appropriate question, very sweet. Forgive me for just thinking. It's actually part of the answer is in the question. That it's not a question of extending the sensory capacity, right? The range of the senses. Right? So the microscope or the telescope, that they in and of themselves underscore the limitation of our senses. Brahm, Pramad, Viparlipsha, Karana, Pattava. So-called four defects, commit mistakes, illusion, sensory inefficiency, and interestingly, what's been sometimes called cheating, Gurmer, is called self-deception. Karana Pattava. So, but what needs to be said is I like to sometimes talk about infinite perspective. Right? So when we admit the limitations of our senses, as the necessity to create these instruments does, we need the microscope to look into the microscopic world. Or I remember as a student hearing about, what do you call it? Electron microscope or some such thing, like to see atoms. And then in the other end, the great telescopes and Hubble. Perhaps that's being replaced by another, but to extend our range in the other direction. But the Upanishads say, Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atmasya Jantur Nihito Gayam. I believe, unless I added the last two words myself, that as far as you may go in either direction, Anur Aniyan, smaller than the smallest, whatever you can discover, there's something. He's smaller than that. The infinite in one direction. Remember showing Gurudev this one film where they show through magnification, photographic, I think it was like cement or. And then they show it at 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. But then 10,000 times, 20,000. It keeps going up exponentially. And as they dive deeper, drill deeper into this way of seeing it, you start seeing another world. And also you start seeing that it's not just all solid. But what appears to the naked eye to be solid is actually composed of many sub-layers of particles. And so in that direction. And the other direction, as far as you can go, still greater than that. These are the two extremes of the infinite. Right? Brahma on one side, Paramatma on the side. Brahma, all accommodating. However big you can go, that can fit, be accommodated within Brahma. Right? That's why Brahmavad is all-encompassing. You have some philosophy, some systems, we got that. We can include that because it's Brahma. It's this sort of universal basis of everything, and it's all accommodating. Everything will fit within that, including, you know, endless varieties of conceptions. That's one extreme. At the other, and these are, it's the infinite. The other extreme of the infinite, Paramatma, smaller than the smallest, all permeating. But still, smaller than that. Nayamatma, Prabhachanina Labhyo, Namedaya, Na Bahuna Srutena. You know, Upanishads also say that trying to understand him is beyond intellectual capacity. Even hearing from Shruti that may point you in the direction, well, may not deliver unless you understand the full import. Vedaishta sarvarahanga vavedyo. Krishna, I'm what is to be understood. And then what is the nature of Krishna? But how shall he be understood? Only if the infinite chooses to reveal himself to the finite. Tam evaisha vivrinute tena labhyas tushaisha atma vivrinute tena. Tanum swam. He reveals himself to whom he chooses, through whom he chooses. So on the Puranic side, Amnai, revealed truth. On the other side, and that means it is subjective. It's coming from the super subjective realm, being revealed to subjective agents. On the other side, objective reality, so-called, you know, verifiable objective reality. So what do the Puranas, and particularly Bhagavat Purana, concern themselves with? Mahapurana, Bhagavat Purana, Krishna conception. What is the nature of Krishna conception? Akila Rasamrita Murti. So, the Bhagavatam is not about geography or history in a conventional sense. And what is revealed there is not an objective revelation, but a subjective revelation. What is revealed to, and by the way, what I'm repeating is based upon what I've heard from Srila Guru Maharaj. Not that just independently I came to these conclusions, because we asked similar questions. So, what is revealed? It is being revealed to Sukadev Goswami to see the creation, the universe, in a particular way. Means from a particular point of view, perspective, sambandha. Right? Just as Arjuna sees the Virat Rupa of Krishna. Right? Krishna reveals that to him. It doesn't say that everyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra saw that. Krishna revealed that to Arjuna, and he's seeing so many things. So what is revealed to Sukadeva, that is being revealed to him, and it is real and legitimate from his perspective. It is not, what is being revealed to him is not something about objective world as it's conventionally understood, but from a particular point of view. How, and because we're trying to harmonize these things and adjust to show how it's possible. So, for example, there was a film that was very popular in the 80s called Koyaanisqatsi by this man named Ron Frick. He's a specialist in time-lapse photography and even invented a giant 65-millimeter camera to film things. So cameras controlled by computers for time lapse. So one example in there is, so he trained his cameras on the incoming and outgoing nighttime traffic of Manhattan. So that means you see a stream of white lights going in one direction, red lights going in another direction. Say it's 8 hours. But he's going to show you those 8 hours in 8 minutes or less. So when you look at the 8 hours in 8 minutes or 80 seconds, 60, say 6 hours, 6 minutes, 60 seconds, what it looks like is a circulatory system. Like, even when we look at maps, what do they call them? You know, they call them the roads arteries, right? Because it's like the city looks like a heart, and then the arteries, you know, are going in and out. So what you see when you see the white lights, it's like a pulsating stream, and then the red. It looks like red and white corpuscles, or it looks like a bloodstream, a circulatory system. So from that point of view, who's seeing like that, if they say, this is what I'm seeing, I see a body, I see blood flowing this, and what they're describing, from their point of view, that is what they are seeing. It's not imaginary, right? It's a legitimate way to see things. So say you're looking at the universe, and which we hear Brahma, the average life duration of Brahma is 300 trillion years, something like 300 trillion, 15 million years. Why they put the 15 million in, I don't know. But 300 trillion years. So, and if you throw in a little science about the expansion, contraction of a universe, then what if you can see those 300 trillion years in 3 minutes? What does it look like? Like when we look at the time lapse of the flowers, and to our eye, we can't even see their opening. Sometimes devotees give me flowers. Which one? The Casablanca, the white lilies. And I'm doing something. I notice like, oh, it opened. I didn't notice it was opening until, but it started like this. And some time went by and I see it's like that. Right. That's just in a very short time. So Ram Dass's friend Louis does these time-lapse videos showing flowers and you see them. And it looks like they're dancing, they're fluttering. It looks like they're dancing if you speed some of them. So if someone from that perspective sees these things and makes a description of that, it's not untrue. This is the point I mean to make first, is that they're so, and Guru Maharaj will say, Krishna is like the supreme hypnotist. What he's revealing to one may not be seen by another. So what is revealed to Sukadev? If we say, well, that's not verifiable by science, or it is not what we see when we look at the objective world. Yes. What of it? It's from a particular perspective that he has this vision. We hear in Brahma Sangita about the sun, Kala Chakra, you know, the wheel of time. So if, even from an objective point of view, if you speed up all of these movements, you may give another a description that does not cancel any other description, but it may be added to that or included. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, when he's giving commentary on certain sections of the fifth canto, and Guru Maharaj referenced this with a similar example. Say a ship, like a yacht, you know what they call it? Plying in the ocean. It's plying through the way. And say it's at a tilt. I'm not a sailor. Satya Sundar is a sailor. It's whatever that tilt is. It's plying through. So it has a mast. You know, the mast means the main masthead. So it's tilted like this. There's the mast, and it's going through the water. Right? Say there is an insect who is spiraling its way up the mast, right? So the boat's going through the mast. The insect is spiraling its way up the mast. While this is happening, the earth is rotating on its axis and then orbiting the sun, and with the sun, they're pivoting the pole star. So which way is the insect moving? Someone says up, someone says down, someone says north, someone says east, you know. All can be true from the perspective, right? That subjective agent who's observing. So what is recorded there is the observations of Sukadeva Goswami. Then this point has to be considered. Jnane prayasam udapasana manta eva. Don't try and measure spiritual substance with your intellect. It'll always be, you know, dwi unguli, two fingers too short. Right? When Yashoda tries by her own endeavors to bind Krishna, right? Like, to box Krishna conception, box the Bhagavatam, and something. 2 inches too short. Add more intellect. 2 inches too, 2 fingers too short. Unless Krishna agrees to be bound and reveal himself. So what is the Bhagavatam? Right? Prabhupada called the 10th canto of the Krishna book. But the whole Bhagavatam could be called the Krishna book. We're told Krishna in book form. So we have to look at this consistently. If we divorce the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam from Krishna conception, what we read will be misread, right? Erroneous. It has to be within Krishna conception. So, what is the nature of Krishna? If we understand something about the nature of Krishna, then we can understand something about the nature of the Bhagavatam. Right. What is its purpose? If it's revealing Krishna, it is not a book about geography, astronomy, history. It's about Krishna and Krishna conception. So, Arto Yam Brahma Sutra Nam Bharatartha Vinirnaya Gayatri Basya Rupo Sho Vedartha Paribringhita. So, it's the real meaning of Vedanta, what Mahabharata takes one to, and it's the commentary, it's the explanation of Gayatri, meaning Brahma Gayatri. What does it begin with? Om Bhur Bhuva Sva. Different planes of experience of the object. Bhur Bhuva Sva Tat Sabitur. What is revealing the objective world? The objective world, the mental world, the intellectual. What is revealing? Sabitur means the sun. But really, Guru Maharaj tells us, that means Atma. Just like in Gita. Imam Kritsnam, something, Jatam Krishna, Imam Ravi, Ravi, Ravi means the sun. Really, Jivatma is giving illumination. That means subject, consciousness, and super subject, Paramatma. Om Bhur Bhuva Sva Tat Sabitur. And saying, but beyond this plane, there is another plane that is varenyam, that is venerable and worshipable to us. Bhargavai Vrishabhanu Jatma Bhivavai Karadana Sri Puram. That spiritual domain, how is it illumined? By Srimati Radharani. It's a world of service. She's revealing that. It is not conventional light. Right? Means light and meaning and consciousness, enlightened consciousness, Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious substance. What is the nature of Krishna conscious? Seva, service, right? Offering ourselves to the super subject. And the super subjective realm means Goloka, Krishna's abode. So if the Bhagavatam is revealing Krishna, right, and ultimately service to Krishna, the spiritual domain, as Guru Maharaj is given in the sloka, Yadamiya Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Katayam Prati Padam Anubhutam Apyalabdha Videya Tadakila Rasa Murti Shyamalila Avalambam Madhura Rasa Di Sri Radha Pada Padmam Prapadye. Although her name is not mentioned ostensibly, every sloka, every step of the way is meant to take us in the direction of the service of her holy lotus feet. So if Bhagavatam's the explanation of Gayatri, what is it? As it says, Gayatri Murli Stakirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dimayi. It means to come in connection with Krishna means to come in connection with her. The service of her holy lotus feet brings us in connection with Krishna. So then, you know, and we say, well, what does this have to do with, you know, the stars and the sky or the objective world? It's really, the Bhagavatam is about the subjective world. It is, as Guru Maharaj says, and we put in the intro in Golden Volcano, to take us from the domain of intellectual jugglery into the domain of rasa. That is the purpose of Bhagavatam. So we cannot divorce the fifth canto, isolate the fifth canto from the Bhagavatam as a whole. We're told in the beginning, what does it say? Nigama kalpaturur galitam palam shukamukaram ritudavasamyatam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhubibhavuka. That Vedas are like a tree, Kalpaturu, a desire tree. Right? And Vedanta is the flower, right? The floral essence, and that gives way to the fruit, which is the Bhagavatam, means Krishna conception. And fruit means rasa, madura rasa, the sweetest juice, nectarine juice, the sweetest rasa, madura rasa, is revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the purpose of all of this, if we try to stay on theme, means the purpose, whatever it is, whatever section you read, it's meant to take you in this direction. All right, so to get more to the point, how do we use a description, a Puranic description of the universe to take us in the direction of Krishna conception? Because if we don't, what is the use? We're not here to say, oh, here's an interesting way to look at things, you know, by the way. No, it must take us there. Otherwise, it's not being properly understood. And so this is interesting. When Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharaj met for the last time in 1977, Srila Prabhupada was imploring him to live with him in Mayapur. And this wasn't just like a courtesy. If you know, like when people say, oh, if you do this, it's just sweet words going back and forth. Prabhupada pushing this and saying things like, have no one to consult with. Remember, he's only surrounded by his disciples and saying, I feel this deficiency very greatly. You come and stay with me. People from all over the world can come and hear you there. And they're talking many things. And he says, Dhyapataka is going to build me a special room with a lift, an elevator, and there'll be one for you. You go up, you won't have to walk any stairs. And he's saying things like, don't worry, you'll still be able to visit your mat. That tells you, he's pushing this. And Guru Maharaj is saying, why? And he's talking as if he's going to leave the world, because actually he is, but Guru Maharaj is thinking like, if I will be the first to go, and look at him, he's traveling all over the world, certainly he will outlive me. But that was not the case. But at one point, he says something very revealing. And he's saying, that planetarium will be built under your direction. Why does he say that? Sky blue, just... What does that have to do with anything? Here's a conversation, and he's telling him all the benefits that will come by joining with him, living in Mayapur. And then he said, and that planetarium will be built under your direction. Why? Why say that? Unless you know, as he does, that this was Srila Sridhar Maharaj's idea. He wanted to do that, but didn't have the resources. But it was his idea to do this. That's why he's saying, I have the resources to do this. It will be built under your direction. So in other words, that long-cherished desire you have to do this, I can do it. And if you come with me there, then it'll be, you can personally oversee how it's done. People may believe this or not. Right. So then, so much has been said on the objective side about the universe, and then people with their intellect, which is forbidden, and it is cancelled in the pages of Bhagavatam that you can understand it with your intellect. Jnane prayasam udapasanam anteva, no less than Brahma. Muhyanti yatsuraya, Brahma was bewildered. Indra mohan, Brahma vimohan, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Shiva. The intellect, so any part of the Bhagavatam is not an intellectual exercise. It's a barrier to understanding the Bhagavatam, actually, to start measuring. So, but to continue the thought, then one might say, one could ask, well, then what was Srila Sridhar Maharaj's idea? And then you would come to what I'm saying, how to connect this Puranic description and take it in the direction of Krishna conception, right? Which is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. So when you consult Guru Maharaj, he will say, it should be based upon the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. That does not mean to counsel, no, but to include. With the ontological basis and aspect of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, then it takes you to Krishna conception, to Goloka Vrindavan, and to the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and Braja Gopis, which is why Mahaprabhu descended in this world, to distribute Krishna consciousness. Right? Krishna is not Krishna conscious. He's Krishna. But he realizes the value of Krishna consciousness. Radharani is the ultimate expression of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna sees in her an enviable position. Although he's Govinda Madhipurusham, he knows everything about being Krishna and the joy, being Rasaraj, but sees her position as being 10 million times superior to his own. So he descends as Mahaprabhu to relish her position and to extend that to others in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. So what is brief, just to try, maybe I'm speaking a little fragmented, but to try and stay on theme and bring these things together. What is Brihad Bhagavatamritam about? Gradation. Like Bhur, Bhuva, Sva. What is that? Maharjana, Tapa, Satya. All these planetary systems showing step by step gradation of theistic revelation and realization. And that takes us through all the different planetary systems, then beyond to, after Brahma Loka, to Shiva Loka, crossing Viroja, to Shiva Loka, to Prahlad, right? The seventh canto, beginning of pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, to Hanuman, Dasya Rasa, Shantana, and to the Pandavas, to Yadavas. It's moving, toward actually like Vatsalya, and to Uddhava, and at last to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. And what's the last chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamritam? Goloka Mahatmyam. So, if this representation, which to begin with is something subjective, right? The Bhagavatam is about the subjective world and how to transition from the objective world to the subjective world. And to the highest aspect of the subjective world. So, if combined with Gopakumar and Brihad Bhagavatamritam, then you have a world-class exhibition with a Puranic description of the universes. That within that is a narrative that takes one from the Bhur Bhuva Sva, the objective world, transitions into the super subjective world, Vaikuntha and up to and including the super, super subjective realm, a Prakriti realm of Goloka Vrindavan. As we told before, Anoranyan Mahato Mahayan, the extremes of the infinite. All accommodating Brahma, greater than the greatest, all permeating Paramatma, smaller than the smallest. Then as Guru said, what shall be the central conception of the infinite? The golden mean of the infinite. All accommodating, all permeating, then what? All attractive. Everyone being drawn, irresistibly drawn to the center, the infinite center, beauty, charm, sweetness, love and affection, ad infinitum personified in the absolute, and the better half of the absolute, sweet absolute, Srimati Radharani, Radha and Krishna, Chidlilamritam. So, and Guru Maharaj will point out, when the rishis, remember, they're observers of reality. So they know, behind everything is consciousness. As Guru Maharaj says, the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. So I know in the background is consciousness, and consciousness can never be divorced of personality. It does not exist independently of personality. So when they see the moon go in the lunar eclipse, Rahu is devouring the moon, the rishis say. That's what they see. And from their perspective, that is what they see. In the background of everything, it's all resting on consciousness, which does not exist independently of personality. So they describe what they see from their perspective, because they see the person behind everything. And how do we navigate this world, the objective world? We are chit subjects. That means, you know, soul, atma, spiritual agents, conscious agents. And this is the achit jagat. You know, dull matter. So Guru Maharaj introduced the conception of chayabhas, chidabhas. An abhas of chit means a shadow of the real thing. That's chaya, means shadow. So, and what is the shadow self? Ahankar, you know, bhumirapo analobayu kamano buddhirevacha. Ahankar itiyame vina prakritirastada. These eight elements. Guru Maharaj is going to the world, mental acquisition, this plane of existence. So in this, acquiring a shadow self, the soul, the chit subject soul, can navigate the achit objective world. Right. Mental acquisition, karmic circumstance. So, and an example he gave, just on the level of interpretation, that says, the moon is closer, the sun is closer to the earth than the moon. Right. So Guru Maharaj, at the time when he was given this example, and it may still be true, gave an example of Russia, Pakistan, and India. So Pakistan's the next door neighbor of India. He said, but we may say Russia is closer to India than Pakistan. How? In terms of influence. Right. So there are many ways to describe things. We talk about Silicon Valley. You know, there isn't a place called Silicon Valley, actually. You say, oh, it's comprised of all these little towns, you know, that do this, that, and the other, and these computer companies. Yes, but we know Silicon Valley is real. But it's not a valley of silicon, and there is no, you know, now entering Silicon Valley. Maybe they put up a sign, who knows. But actually, it's just all these little towns and cities together that are taken to be Silicon Valley. Someone say, New York, it's the financial capital of... Yes. The financial world. That's a real thing, but where is the financial world? How do you get there? Sometimes we ask this question. The literary world. There are different ways also to conceive a world. It doesn't mean they are not legitimate. So if we take it that the Puranas, and we're talking more specifically the Bhagavad Purana, its intention is to take us to the domain of rasa. Right? That's the purpose all along. Why there are nine cantos, prerequisite to get to the 10th canto, the birth of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, culminating in Madhura Rasa pastimes with Srimati Radharani and Braja Gopis. That's the purpose of all of this. If you take any part of it and divorce it of that purpose, you're misreading it. That's my point. So the only way to read this properly is under the influence of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Then we see how it's useful and connected. Has to be connected to Krishna conception. Why would we promote anything other than Krishna conception? So, therefore, we need, you know, the book Bhagwa interpreter, like the Mohini Murti I mentioned. Right? You see this at Suvarnabhumi Airport. Right? The devas and the asuras, although they didn't represent Kurma nicely, they show just like Vishnu. Is there a Kurma? But very little. He's like underneath. He's standing, you know, it's... Could have been, I think, more emphasis. But, and we see Vasuki and the Mandara and all. So, as I asked Guru Maharaj once, thinking like, this, there's a reference to this after the ninth canto in the last chapter of the Bhagavatam, the 12th canto. Which you would think, here's the summary. Now and it's the last chapter, has 20 or 30 verses. It's very small. So then you would think, well, every one of these verses must be extremely important. Here's the conclusion of the magnum opus of Vyasadeva, the Mahapurana, Supurpurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, like the book on Krishna conception. And then this verse is there that begins, Prishte Brahmyara Manda Mandaragiri Grabhagya Kandu Yanam Nidralo Kamatakrite, etc. About Kurma. And so I had just read the 12th canto, that's why it was in my mind. And so I asked Guru Maharaj, I thought, it's wonderful, it's a beautiful pastime. Wonderful incarnation within the Das Avatar. I just don't understand why this is being referenced again in the concluding chapter, in other words, the final words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Seemed like a peripheral pastime. Perhaps to my intellect. And Guru Maharaj, I don't think you've been asked this before, it appeared on the spot. He went very deep. And just, I thought I was taxing his brain. But not, and I was going to tell, it was in the afternoon, I was going to say, we can take it up some other time. Because I don't think he expected at that time this sort of a question. But some divine flow came to him. And before, as I was going to say, not necessary, we can... Guru Maharaj said, you know, what was the object of their churning? Right? This is his ontological method. They're churning what? The Kheer Sagar. Right? We can say ocean of milk. Right? And like that churning... Right? Different things are being produced. But what was their object? We hear, they want to obtain amrita, nectar, most often translated as nectar. Right? But it's comprised of, you know, mrityu means death, amrita means deathless, or most commonly rendered as, you know, immortality. So most people say the same. Yes, the gods and the Asura, they got together and they churned the Mandara mountain with using Vasuki as the rope, and it was on the back of the Kurma avatar. right, who had an itch on his back, and the churning's relieving the itch. He begins to breathe, like, oh, and that outward going breath is the Vedas. But they're trying to get that nectar, and as you know, the because they want to be immortal, they want the nectar of immortality. People say, "Oh, common theme." And we say, as a sidebar, "Oh, interesting." What the devas and asuras still to this day, the godly, the god, you know, one side they're trying for immortality through technology. The other side, they're trying through religion. you can say. But that's not what the Bhagavatam is about. Why would the Bhagavatam have some pastime emphasizing immortality? Generic, live forever, off-the-shelf immortality. Is that what the book is about? Live forever. Stay high forever. That was the old ad of the devotees in the beginning. Stay high forever. You can understand who the audience was. I'm high on the Lord, the Most High. So, immortality. We can superficially, but Guru Maharaj is saying, no, that the Bhagavatam is not about that. So then we say, mukti, muktir hit banyata rupam swarupena vivastiti, means swarup, jive swarupai krishnara nityadas, krishna das, radha dasi, divine servitor form, serving, loving exchange, rasa. Right? So Guru Maharaj said, what is being said here? What are they trying to get? And it's hinted at by, you see, what is one of the things generated from the ocean? The moon. Someone said, well, I think it's science. There is some theory about the moon coming from here. You don't need faith to believe that, to understand that. But the moon, Chandra, the Chandra Vamsa, is it a hint like, And the moon dynasty? What is the person who comes from the moon dynasty famous for? What does he do? And Sri Lakshmi Devi comes out? You mean one side moon dynasty, the other side Sri, one side Radha Krishna, other side Radha, Radha Krishna. He's saying what this is telling us is that the Amrita, the nectar, the ultimate nectarine substance, this is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is Madhura Rasa, which is revealed in the pastimes of Krishna, Radharani, and Braja Gopis. We are unashamedly Krishna-loving people. And why shouldn't we be? So he's saying, that's what the Bhagavatam is about. It's about Madhura Rasa. It means erotic potential, reality potential, erotic potential in the supreme reality, the most unthinkable, inconceivable thing. That for lack of exposure and understanding and connection, people conclude the only world where this principle can be expressed is here. The objective world. But confidential of confidential subjects, no. Madan Mohan Krishna, everyone in this world under the influence of Madan Krishna, Madan Mohan. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. 10 million Cupids personified one is the seductive charm, sweetness, beauty of Krishna. And that Krishna, all attractive Krishna, Madan, Mohan, Mohini, Radharani, can make Krishna lose his mind. Hare. She can capture Krishna wholesale with her beauty, self-giving, dedicating nature, So then what is it? To transition from the objective world of exploitation to the subjective world of dedication. And we say, why do the text of the subjective world of dedication differ with the geography, historicity, etc., of the objective world of exploitation? They must. It's not an accident or that something's wrong. They deal with what is permanent. When I went to the Calcutta Book Fair, I was looking through these different books, and there's one like history book, and there was a British scholar writing back to his, like, on, you know, with the imprimatur, like Her Majesty, etc., you know, maybe Queen Victoria, it was an old book. And he's writing back to his colleagues in England, and he's saying, you know, they don't approach history the way we do. I would joke with that girl of Greek ancestry, Madhupriya. I said once, oh, her ancestors fought in the Peloponnesian War. You know. And later she came and she said, my ancestors did fight in the Peloponnesian War. It's like 2,000 years ago, or don't quote me on that. I wasn't paying that much attention at the time. But my point was, so he's saying, here's our history. As my history teacher said, some Western history summed up in a word, booty. To the victors go the spoils. And so this he's writing back to his colleagues in England and said, you know, they don't have history like... they have histories, but they don't... Ours are always about at this time, you know, and so-and-so A.D. or B.C., they came and conquered, and that kind of thing. This chronological thing. But the reason they don't is because they don't consider the objective world important. Understand? The entire objective world in this history is not of importance on the Vedic side of things. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate is repeatedly. It appears for sometimes, it vanishes, appears and vanishes, appears and vanishes. When this self-described Vedic scholar was attending some festival, and we had this discussion, and he's all about dates. And I said, you know, there's something interesting I heard from Guru Maharaj, is that, you know, we will say, you know, Veda, Rig Veda in particular, is the oldest scripture in the world. And it's the first. Sometimes you'll hear it say, you know, with each creation there come the Vedas, and that's true. And then later come the Puranas. But Purana can have two meanings. And both are important. One is to fulfill. It's very beautiful. Because when I see things like supplementary literature, you think it's like, oh, by the way, you know, a couple other things happen. It's not like that. Here's some details that are kind of trippy. You know, it's not like that. When it says they fulfill. So, example, Veda, adbhutakram, just means he of wonderful stride, but wonderful in the sense of like astonishing, miraculous. But just, that's one way is to be known. What comes in the Purana? Vaman avatar. So what we told, he of wonderful stride, the Purana comes, tells you the full story of Vaman avatar, Bali Maharaj, etc. The other meaning, another, not just there are two, but other, is old or oldest or older. So this means Vedas are the first, original, they must be the oldest. Nothing. Puranas appear later, but how can they be older than what is in Veda? That seems, appears to be a contradiction, or to rational thought. And this way, Narayan said, the Puranas have information, lila, pastimes, from previous creations. If the Vedas are given with the creation, then that means the Puranas, although in a linear chronological sense, appear later, they may have more superior information from past creations. And what he said was perfect, actually. He said, no scholar will accept that. And I went, you know, Baba. Exactement, mon frère. Gyane priyasa mudapasana manta eva. You cannot understand these things with your intellect. You cannot understand the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam with your intellect. You will necessarily be deceived. As Brahma was, he's giving himself, he's not ashamed to say that he himself is an example. Indra, Shiva, in good company, Muhyanti Yatsuraya. So Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, just to conclude, he's the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, the Sambandha Gyan Acharya. And he reveals Bhakti Siddhanta. And remember, his deity is, who is his deity? Madan Mohan. A coincidence? Who can break the stranglehold that Cupid, Eros, has on the heart? It's his deity. It's the only way you get free. Right? Being attracted to the superior beauty, charm, sweetness, seductive charm and sweetness of Krishna, can break the stranglehold that lust has upon the heart. Madan Mohan. So Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, through the medium of Brihad Bhagavatamritam, how perfectly, step by step, incrementally, through all these different planetary systems, planes of experience, from gross to subtle, transitions us from the objective world of exploitation to the subjective world of dedication, culminating in Gopi Bhav, Goloka Vrindavan. That's what we're supposed to reveal to the world. And I'm sure the superior devotees charged with this responsibility, they will do that. There's no doubt about it. In Mayapur, the land of Mahaprabhu, they're going to take everyone to Goloka, to Krishna conception, Radha Dasyam. Mahaprabhu's conception, yadi gaur na hoita tabiki hoita kamari dari tam dehi, radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janataka. He came to say, how great the glories of Radharani, the supreme Krishna conscious devotee, and her love, her Krishna prema. He came to reveal that, express that to the world through Nam Sankirtan, his public service, and plunging the depths of Radha Bhav in private with Sri Damodar. And that beautifully Brihad Bhagavatamritam, last chapter, Goloka Mahatmyam, showing then, and always step by step gradation. So, Vaikuntir Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy, even the soil is Chinmoy. And then what? The insects in that soil, like Das Goswami says, Mukunda Doyata, they're dear to Mukunda, Lilanu Kul, they're favorable to Leela than the bumblebees, the lotus flowers, the trees, it goes in gradation to the peacocks, the cows, the Shanta, to the Dasya servitors, to the friends, the count, gopis, Nanda, Yashoda, then Radharani and Braja gopis, Asamaho, Chonanarain, Ujashama, Hungsham, Vrindavane, Kimopi, Gumalato, Sadinam, Yadushtajam, Sajanam, Arjapatam, Tihitba, Bejur, Mukunda, Parivim, Shrutivir, Vrindavan. I told Hien's first seven there. Last part, same place, always ends, culminates in an aspiration for the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna.